It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, sitting in today for Paul Guggenheimer. Today's job market is focused on innovation and is increasingly global. That was one of the takeaways from the governor's jobs first summit in Pittsburgh this week. Experts were in sync with their message that the workforce is being recruited and cultivated not just throughout the state, not just across the country, but worldwide. And their call to allow additional qualified foreign workers to fill the needs of employers. Joining us now in Studio A is immigration attorney and former U.S. diplomat Kamana Mathur. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
If you have a question for our guest about immigration law and visas for high-skilled foreign workers, you can call us at 412-246-2002. Come and help us understand. There are a variety of visas, including H-1B visas and L-1 visas. What are the differences in general?
Well, there are two principal types of visas, immigrant and non-immigrant visas. And non-immigrant visas are for people to come here temporarily and then go back after their visa expires. And a green card or a permanent visa allows them to stay here permanently and basically as long as they wish, and ultimately become U.S. citizens.
Temporary. And that's sort of a range, though, isn't it? It's pretty expensive.
It is a range. It depends on the type of visa. If someone comes, for example, to consult with local firms or have some business dealings, they could come on a B-1 visitor for business visa. And that's normal, typically for 3 to 6 months, they gain entry. However, if they come for an H-1B or an L visa, it can be for a longer period. It could be for 3 years. For example, H-1Bs can be issued for 3 years at a time and extended for another 3 years. But after that six-year period, they must leave or hopefully get a green card if the company is happy with their work and willing to petition for it.
So, and we're talking about for these visas, are we not specialty occupations?
Yes.
And if so, what? Give us a sample of those occupations and what skills might be required.
Well, specialty occupations require a degree of knowledge that is not, a degree is required. At a minimum, you need a bachelor's degree, and for some, you need a master's degree. Occupations that qualify as specialty occupations are, for example, people who are in the technical, in the sciences, in researchers, doctors, dentists, IT professionals, and management as well are qualify as a specialty occupation.
What have you found to be the needs in general of employers in this region when it comes to international workers?
Well, the Pittsburgh region is rapidly growing into basically a technology hub, both for medical technology and also for engineering and computer skills. So it's changed from the steel town it was in the past to a high-tech hub similar to Silicon Valley. In fact, they say the Pittsburgh metropolitan area has the second highest demand now for H-1B workers. So they need people who are qualified in the sciences, mathematics, technology, and of course, medical fields like that. And there is a massive shortage of qualified people in the area currently.
And conversely, is there a shortage of available visas?
There's a substantial shortage of available visas because the number of H-1B visas is capped at 65,000 per year for the general cap.
And that's across the country?
That's across the country. And this past year, we had about 124,000 H-1B applications within the first week. And there were 50,000 applicants on the first day. So they had to use a lottery system to determine who would get the visa or not. So there could be a company who had you know, wanted to employ someone who was highly skilled or had a specific skill that they needed. But if you have to file, if it's a cap subject employer, they have to file by April 1st. I mean, that's when they start taking applications. And you cannot begin work until October 1st. So it requires some planning in any case. And so if a company is planning to hire someone and they find that the person did not make the lottery, then they're basically stuck without a worker. So it's not an easy process.
So to understand, it's the company identifies some workers that they'd love to bring over here and be employees and contribute to their company. Then the company applies on their behalf?
That's correct.
Okay. So you mentioned that number of how many were available nationwide?
There were 65,000 in the general cap, and then there's a special master's cap of 20,000.
Okay. Are they divided up regionally? How are they divided up across the country?
Well, they're not divided up regionally, and that's the problem. So most of the highly qualified workers who do come end up going to Silicon Valley or New York or the big cities, and Pittsburgh is just not getting enough of them. And that's why the advertising process, the recruiting process in Pittsburgh takes much longer to find qualified STEM workers.
And so even though the need is big, they're not getting enough.
They're not getting enough.
Okay, you mentioned not divided by region. Is there any element of by industry sector? So many are allotted for this industry, so many for engineering, et cetera.
Well, they're not allotted by sector, but the bulk of H-1B applicants are in the STEM fields, science, technology, math, engineering, just because that's where the greatest need is and that's where there are insufficient qualified U.S. workers.
So let me ask you this then, one more sort of category. Are those 65,000 plus the 20,000 master ones, mm-hmm. did you say? Are they allotted also by country? So many come from can go to workers from Poland, so many from India, so many from fill in the country.
Well, not for the temporary. H-1B is a temporary visa. But if you go to the green card process, there is a cap per country of the number of immigrants that can come from any country. So therefore, China and India, which are two countries with the largest population, have huge backlogs because you have to wait until a priority date or a visa number becomes available for the worker. And so if you're coming if you're a worker from India, for example, and you want to work permanently in the United States, you can wait over 10 years. And, you know, which employer wants to wait 10 years to hire a worker?
No, not going to hold that job.
No.
Okay. Is one of the problems, is the U.S. not graduating enough people in certain professional fields, such as engineering?
Well, we definitely do have a shortage, and it's been identified as a shortage, and that's why measures are being taken to try to encourage people to go into the sciences. And I would say, you know, the fact, if you look at the salaries, you look at the length of time to recruit, which is almost double for a non-STEM worker, there's definitely a shortage. We do not have enough highly qualified workers. And we, as a competitive nation, want to attract the best and the brightest from around the world.
Mm-hmm. One of the participants at the Jobs First Summit in Pittsburgh this week, it was Frank Friedman of Deloitte, mentioned another problem or challenge. Said that U.S. universities are good at attracting international students, but 47% of those who graduate in technical fields have to leave America when they've completed school. They can't join the U.S. workforce because of no visa. Is that a separate issue or are they related?
Well, I mean, we attract the best students because we have great universities, and everyone wants to come to America. It's really the land of opportunity. But if these graduates cannot find jobs, and because of the lottery system, the shortage of visas, they do leave. And in fact, there was a study done that between 2003 and 2007, we lost 182,000 students who, if they had been permitted to remain, would have added $14 billion to the GDP and contributed $2.6 to $3.6 billion in tax revenue.
So the jobs are there. Quite often, these recent grads want those jobs. They just can't stay to accept those jobs.
That's correct.
Does this aspect of immigration reform get overshadowed by the controversy over crossing U.S. borders illegally?
Well, crossing the border is a different issue. Yeah. And I do believe that the majority of Americans, at least the studies and surveys show, support more and high-skilled immigrants to the country. Republicans and Democrats both support it. There's some people who will say, oh, the foreigners are invading our country. But, you know, this is a theme that has resonated throughout history. I mean, Ben Franklin said there's swarms of Germans migrating to our country, and they're failing to assimilate. We need to do something. So when you hear about these kind of things, there's that fear-mongering, and the people are afraid that, oh, we're being taken over, we're losing our cultural values and things of that sort. But it's a different type of person coming over. So even those who maybe object to that or have problems with that still support more visas for high-skilled workers. In fact, Republicans have actually authored many bills to help bring more high-skilled workers to the United States.
Kamena Mathur, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Kamena Mathur is an immigration attorney and former U.S. diplomat. Coming up, a Pittsburgh man's personal heartbreak turns into hope for children he doesn't even know. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.